Hey, what's up? I'm Scott L.
And I'm Doug.
And this is Ghostly Talk.
It sure is.
We were doing some tests. You know, we usually do a test run before we fire up.
Well, we like to get all the levels right.
Yeah.
For some reason. Yeah.
And, yeah, that's what sounds good.
Hey, the wolf.
Hey, cute wolf.
That's the wolf.
So, apparently a couple of our listeners or somebody heard us on some of our pre-show goofiness that we do just to test everything out and make sure it works. Sorry about that.
Yeah, what fuzz? That's like pre-show fuzz.
Yeah, so we usually do that. So sorry about that. Anyways, we have a really fun show for you guys today.
It'll be fun for us, too.
Yeah, we you know, of course, during the week, me and Doug are back and forth on the phone doing our things and doing the research or whatever to do a show. And we decided, you know, we haven't really done a show where we've talked about legends and folklore and all that stuff.
And no, we don't take requests for the pre-show. Legends and folklore and stuff.
But we've never really...
Something popped up on Yahoo Messenger, that's why.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And basically, we decided to do a show on current events, you know, within the last month or so.
I think that's a pretty cool idea. Well, the recent events.
Yeah, recent events.
Yeah, we're not limited to a month.
Yeah, there is a lot of stuff going. I mean, we talk about all the legends and stuff like that. But we never really sat down and said, hey, what's going on right now? And we've come to find out there's a lot of very funny things that go on in the paranormal world. I mean, to us at least.
Yeah,
so.
We picked out some of the...
Yeah, the
most
ones we thought were the most interesting in a way
that
we thought we could present on the radio for you guys.
And have a lot of fun.
Yeah, so, I mean, what you're going to hear is some pretty funny stuff. You're going to hear a lot of laughing this show.
I hope so.
But, you know...
And we're going to think about it, because there's actually a couple that I have some
Yeah, we're going to talk about it, too. You know, so we are sensitive to these things, too. We do understand other people have other beliefs, you know, no matter how funny it may... You know, it may be, you know, serious to one person, obviously, but... funny to another person.
Yeah.
Which a lot of these stories we're going to be talking about are from other countries. Japan, Africa, places like that.
Is Malaysia in Africa?
I don't know.
I think it's not.
I wasn't very good with
geography. I think it's a group of islands.
Okay.
Well, it's from over there. It's not from here. Yeah.
It's by Africa, okay?
I'm sure they take it seriously.
But the way they see things, the way we see things are two different, you know, completely different. As apparent by some of the stories we found. So we are going to just check these out and you know, tell us what you think, too. We are on the Yahoo Messenger, so if you got something to say, or maybe you have something. Maybe you have a story that you've seen that maybe you might want to throw at us.
Well, the new Ghostly Talk website is going to allow people to post stories, and then we review them and see whether or not we want to post it up
there for
everyone.
Yeah, that's
one
of the new features we have from the new site that's coming up, along with a new URL, too.
Yeah, we're going to get a new URL eventually.
www.ghostlytalk.com.
You can go there now,
but
you're not going to do anything.
Yeah. we actually got the domain.
But we did get ghostlytalk.com, finally.
Uh-huh, so we're going to be, there's going to be a big switch coming up here
pretty soon.
Big switch, so.
Newer, better, bigger thing.
Yeah,
So, also the show is our Ghostly Talk haikus that you and I wrote.
Yeah.
And I was amazed at how much hard work it was.
Yeah.
I mean, recording it was fun, but I mean, before that,
we actually cut these ones as opposed to doing it down here in the Ghostly Talk studio. We cut those
at a real studio.
At the band's, MFPS's rehearsal studio where the band rehearses at. We actually have a big Pro Tools rig there. That we do pre-production and stuff like that.
That
we
used
to go
fun.
To studios. So we use that gear. So
coming up this show, we've got ghostly news or otherworldly news or whatever you want to call it, and also haiku.
A whole lot of goofiness.
News and haiku today.
All right. We'll see you in a few seconds.
You're listening to Ghostly Talk with your hosts,
Doug
and Scott L. Okay. In news.
How's that?
Pretty cool.
Okay.
Pretty
yeah,
quick.
For Ghostly Talk News, we've got the first story does come out of Kuala Lumpur.
Ah.
That is what I think is in
Malaysia.
Malaysia. You wrote Africa, but I think it's Malaysia. I have to look that up. Evidently, there was an exhibition on ghosts.
Uh-huh.
45,000 people... who wanted to be thrilled by the host of spine-chilling ghouls and ghosts. They jammed up the roads, leading to... now we're going with these foreign words. Museum Negara. It's a museum. And anyway, basically, caused this huge traffic jam.
Okay? 45,000 people?
45,000 people. They wanted to be, you know, see this exhibit.
Probably a Saturday night in Royal Oak to me.
Yeah. The exhibit the exhibit was, they started lining up around 5 p.m., and the queue for the entrance to the Exploring Ghosts Mystery and Culture Exhibition.
And here comes the ice cream truck.
Ice cream truck.
Weekly
That's
ice cream
weekly
truck.
Feature of Ghostly Talk.
Right here. You can only get that here at Ghostly Talk,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, there's no other paranormal show that has its own weekly ice cream truck, I don't think. So anyway, they were going around. The Exploring Ghosts Mystery and Culture Exhibition. They had to, like, search for parking spaces. They had to, you know, snake around and find parking. It was just, like, absolutely a mob scene there, okay? So I did some research. Well, first let me read a little bit from this news clipping that we got. Blah, blah, blah. The museum's parking lot was jammed with cars, and the long queue stretched up the hill behind the building to Jalan Kinabalu. Kinabalu.
Okay.
Vehicles parked along Jalan Bangsar and Jalan must mean road, I don't know, Damansara, slowed down the traffic while illegal food stalls worsened the situation. The museum staff had their hands full just trying to control the crowd.
Oh, geez.
Right? A security division officer said the administration decided to extend its operating hours in view of the overwhelming response. We don't want to disappoint them, if we have to, we may remain open until midnight.
Oh, wow.
They wanted to let everybody, you know, everybody wanted to
check
in.
It out.
Yeah, it cost one ringgit. Ringgit. R-I-N-G-G-I-T, ringgit. That's Malaysia's
currency,
yes. And a ringgit, it turns out, I looked it up on the Universal Currency Converter. I love the internet. It's 26 cents. So, you had 26 cents each. You hop in your car, you go to the ghost exhibit at the local museum.
Uh-huh.
45,000 people. What do you think of that?
Now, we've talked about in the past about conducting ghost hunts and stuff like that and going on investigations. And usually you try to keep the numbers. You want to have enough people there to take care of business and feel safe.
Yeah.
But you don't want to have a million people there running around with cameras because usually, well, 9 times out of 10, you're not going to get anything that way. You're
right.
Really trying to get something on film.
Well, this was a little different. This was an exhibit. You know, it was something by the museum. So
yeah.
Obviously the museum benefited greatly for it.
And
I think it's a good idea.
Somebody retired that day.
Somebody got a bonus.
Yeah.
But what I'm thinking is, you're right about crowds. If you're going out ghost hunting, or if you're going to have a seance, or if you're going to do whatever you do in order to experience the paranormal, I don't think 45,000 of your closest friends are who you want to bring along, because that's just too many numbers. I think about 7-ish would be about the max for a ghost hunt.
That's usually a good group.
Anywhere 4 to 7 is a good number. You start getting 10, 13, 15 people, it gets a little unruly.
Out of control.
Yeah. Even in humongous places.
Yeah.
Because then you're worried, because if you turn around the corner and you see, like, a figure standing there, it could be one of the other groups.
Yeah.
So you know, even a huge place. I did go out with a whole bunch of people one day, and it didn't seem like, it wasn't the same anyway.
It was fun.
Oh, I had a blast.
Yeah.
But it wasn't a good, like, scientific kind of thing.
Yeah, it was more just let's tromp around. But, you know, I mean, you can still get things done. It's just a matter of organizing, too. I mean, now, there are groups that have large groups like that.
Yeah.
They take them out, and they are organized, and they do it in the military fashion where everybody's got their job. So, you know, we're not any authority on that. We've done it, but usually we tend to see groups. So, you know, around 7 people is a good number.
But what I'm wondering about that particular story.
Yeah.
What would happen here in the United States? I mean, I know a lot of our listeners are from Canada, which is, you know, culturally only slightly different from U.S.
Yeah.
But there's people from England, from Austria. Hi. From
Germany.
Germany. There's people all over the place.
Yeah.
Listening to Ghostly Talk.
Just sweet. Thank
you. Here in the United States, I just don't think if there was a museum exhibit about what do they call this one? Mysterious ghosts. Let me look.
Let me see.
It was called Exploring Ghosts, Mystery and Culture.
Okay.
Exhibition. If there was something like that, would it attract 45,000 people? What do you think?
I think it would. Well, not in this country, because everything's so accessible here.
Yeah.
I mean, look at, for example, the obvious example with this show, I mean, you can go on the internet and, like, read, see pictures, watch movies, hear EVP, you can do...
But they must have the internet in Kuala Lumpur. Kuala Lumpur,
well, sure.
By the way, is the capital of Malaysia.
I'm sure they do, but in this...
Of a little over, between 1,200,000 people in 1991 estimate, so
yeah.
11 years ago it was hit a million people, it probably has more by now. The whole country of Malaysia has, how many did I say? 22.6 million people.
Yeah. I think with this country, though, excluding Malaysia for a second, I mean, everything's so accessible here, and there's just so many things to do, too.
Yeah.
I mean, this country, I mean, I don't know that much about Malaysia. Actually, I don't know crap about Malaysia, but, I mean, I know with this country, there's just so many things to do, ghost hunting, along with that list of things, that somebody would find something else to do. So I'm going to take back what I said before. I think it wouldn't be that crazy here. I mean, unless it was something like, I mean, you'd probably get, I mean, if it was something to do, as we've heard about this in the news for years, probably since we were children, somebody saw a vision of the Virgin Mary on top of their church. And I remember one particular church, a church at the corner of 12 Mile and Woodward, at Royal Oak Berkeley area right there. There was a vision. Somebody said they saw.
Well, that's a humongous.
Yeah,
church.
I forgot the name of the church though.
Yeah.
But somebody said there was a vision. Some lady saw a vision of the Virgin Mary weeping on top of the church, and you wouldn't. I was just young. This happened years ago, but I remember driving by there a lot with my parents, and just there was crowds of people in front of the place.
Oh yeah, pilgrims,
crowds of people.
And stuff like that.
So and people were coming from everywhere. So. I think with this country, it may depend more on the actual circumstances.
Yeah.
Around it. Somebody said, hey, we got a ghost exhibit. Come check it out. Well, okay.
You don't think that
would attract... It would attract people. Of course it would attract people like us.
Yeah.
Who are... this is our passion. This is what we like to do. We like to study this stuff and go on ghost hunts and just everything around the world of the paranormal. As soon as you hear something about it, you know, our antlers pop up.
Yeah.
So I think it would be more people... in tune with that particular activity. You know what I mean?
That's true. I thought it was a fascinating story.
Oh, yeah. Well, as far as the numbers go, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you dug that one up on the internet.
Yeah.
And I just think it's amazing because 45,000 people out of a couple million or so. What time?
No, all right. So, next story.
Oh.
The next story we got for you guys today. Like Tom Brokaw. Too cool. Miss Cleo is in the news.
Miss Cleo.
Hi,
Miss Cleo.
Miss Cleo is in the news. Now, this isn't really too paranormally involved, I guess. Like, well, the last story wasn't really either. But it has to do with the paranormal.
It was ghost.
It's kind of funny.
This is ghost.
TV psychic unaware of collection tactics, attorney says.
Uh huh.
Now, I'm sure there's a lot of mixed opinions out there about Miss Cleo. We'll get into that in a second. Just before the demise of the infomercials for the public hotline she was pitching, Miss Cleo, also known as Yuri Harris of the Broward County Committee of Southwest Ranches, was being paid $10,000 per day of videotaping. She testified at a deposition on Tuesday. This was this past
this was
Tuesday.
A while ago. Yeah, it was this past
was more, Tuesday. This was July 10th. This was posted.
Oh, cool.
Well,
that was a couple Tuesdays
ago. So that was a couple Tuesdays ago. Assistant Attorney General Dave Ehrenberg said that in addition to the fees for shooting the infomercials, the company that operated the hotline, Access Resource Services of Fort Lauderdale, Florida, paid her $5,000 a month for websites that used her likeness, Harris testified. An attorney for the company said the representation of fees paid for the Miss Cleo character sounded accurate, but Harris's attorney, William Cohn Jr. of Fort Lauderdale, said she didn't get rich from her infomercials. Her income tax return reports $76,000 in income for 2000 alone, Cohn said. He said he didn't have more recent figures handy, unfortunately. The state attorney general's office is suing Access Resource Services and Harris, accusing them of deceiving consumers in a pitch to call their $5 a minute?
$5 a minute.
$5 a minute? Porn's cheaper than that.
Yeah, well, porn's free on the internet, I think. But
jeez. Well, yeah, I don't know if porn's cheaper than that. I mean, forget it. $5 a minute psychic hotline and of using heavy-handed collection tactics.
Oh, okay. You know, I know a little bit about this. It seems to me the rest of the article goes on to say something about they were sending letters, like collection letters, like,
yeah,
you know, pay your bill, pay up, pay up. And they were, like, signing it Miss Cleo.
Oh.
And so so that was, you know, they were using her signature or saying that it was from her. So they were basically using this heavy-handed collection,
yeah,
tactics. You know, pay your bill, pay your,
yeah,
your psychic bill now. Or, you know, I don't know what would happen.
Yeah,
but
Let's see here. Well, Cohn said he thought Harris's testimony went a long way towards showing she was not a participant in any alleged deception. That's as clear as ice water, he said. I'm going to do my paraphrasing voices now. There were a lot of things that came out in the deposition that showed she was unaware. Harris has expressed shock that her Miss Cleo signature, to which she had signed away the rights for promotional purposes, so she basically signed herself to the devil by doing that.
Right.
She signed herself. Was being used on allegedly threatening collection letters, like you said.
Yep.
Cohn and Ehrenberg said. She never knew things were going out like that, Cohn said. She was just totally shocked. Yeah. Okay.
Well,
I don't like Miss Cleo. I'm going to be very clear about this.
I love Miss Cleo. I think she's fabulous. I never called her, but the infomercials were phenomenal. The character that Miss Harris created, the Miss Cleo character, mm-hmm, was believable, very well played. It was a treat to see her infomercial on. Especially after the, you know, slew of Dionne Warwick commercials or whoever.
Oh, my
we
God.
Got, like,
oh.
Absolutely blasted with. Yeah. But,
ugh,
no, the Miss Cleo character, I think, is phenomenal. I would love to go to lunch with her. Miss,
yeah,
Cleo,
so would I.
Call me.
So
call
would
me
I.
now.
So
although
would I
probably just did a copyright infringement.
Yeah, yeah, we're all Ghostly Talk is off the air.
Yeah.
Yeah, this Cleo, I, you know, I saw the commercials, and when I'm turned off by something, I usually don't give it any more attention. I saw the commercials, and I just pretty much laughed at them. I mean, she's a psychic. I have respect for the whole area of paranormal,
mm-hmm,
concerning that, okay? But,
well, what would be, okay, all right, so I think I get where you're going. Okay,
I don't like her.
You're like, okay.
No, I mean, I just don't like her. There's nothing really behind it. I mean, there's
well,
just,
not me.
I don't like her.
I think she's fabulous.
I mean, I think her character was funny. I got a kick out of her character. Don't get me wrong.
Whether she's from Jamaica, and obviously, you know, she made this Miss Cleo character up. She got you know, some FaceTime on TV with,
yeah,
it. She got paid for it. Not enough.
She basically
evidently.
She basically signed over that whole character, though.
Yeah, and did, and that was probably she needed a different agent.
Yeah,
yeah. Because the Miss Cleo character could have done like all kinds of stuff other than just the infomercials.
Yeah.
The Miss Cleo character could have been guested on
every single talk show in America.
Talk shows, could have guested on Saturday Night Live. Could have guested on. I mean, the Miss Cleo could have done all kinds of wonderful stuff, but. You know, other than the infomercials, but she sold her, she, you know, sold herself to the, you know,
she sold
the infomercial people.
So
that was it. But
yeah,
no, I think she's a fabulous individual who had some bad business. I know, bad business advice.
Yeah.
Anyway, what happens is, if you are a psychic, okay, there's basically only a couple of John Edwards or John. Yeah. I said that right. His name is John Edward, but I said there's only a couple of John Edwards. Me, and I mean John Edward. You know, he's on what Sci-Fi Channel.
Yeah.
There's evidently another one on some other channel that I'd never actually caught, but somebody said there's another TV
guy. July sweeps, gotta get somebody on there.
Yeah.
Let's go.
And so there's very few that have like such incredible national notoriety that they can, you know, that they can do their thing for the masses. And what I'm wondering is if you were a gifted psychic, you know, not a Miss Cleo made up character kind of thing, but if you were a gifted psychic, what would you do if you wanted to go national? How could you, like, what's the business of being psychic? First let me take one step back.
Okay,
this is the kind of stuff I think of when I read these articles. I usually read the article, I get the information from the article, and then I start thinking like 8 million directions at once. I never like sit there and read, you know, oh, bad stuff for Miss Cleo, you know, and I didn't like her, or I liked her, or whatever, and then that's it. I don't stop when I read an article. I think in 8 million different directions at once. And this is what people should be doing. People should read an article like this and think about it every which way you possibly can, and then even more. So, what I get out of this article is, what would you do if you wanted to go national?
Well, I'd get a good agent, and I wouldn't sell off my character, I'll tell you that right now. That'd be the first thing I want to do. And, I only know the music business, so I know about selling a character as far as a band goes, because, I mean, when it comes down to being a band, you are selling a product the same way.
And there's entertainment product.
There's a certain image that you project, usually as a musical group, too. There's usually a mood you're trying to project. Something of that sort. And Miss Cleo, there was a mood she was trying to project too, which was just, hey, I can tell you everything.
Call me now. Yeah.
Which is, it was fun too. It was uplifting. She wanted to tell you good things. That's where I got mad, because I'm like, you know, I tend to be a bit of a pessimist in life.
Yeah.
You know, that's just because that's just, you know, cautious thinking, but not everything's good. You know, I've been to psychics who have told me, you're going to have a rough time. This is, something's going to happen to you. I went to one in Florida, and she told me things like that. And I'm like, well, at least, you know, I don't know if she was being real or not. I don't know if she was real. I don't know. I paid her $10, and she gave me a reading. But she did tell me there's going to be things, something, stuff, this is going to happen to you, and I see a travel and all that. You know, I don't want to go into the specifics of it, but that was the mood that I think Miss Cleo was trying to project, was a happy, fun image. And plus, she was Jamaican, too. Jamaican, man. And she had that whole vibe going with that, too.
Yeah. Well, it's because of the stigma or whatever that, you know, Jamaican voodoo, ancient culture kind of thing.
Yeah, so.
It really fit well. I mean, as an entertainment product, that went very well.
Entertainment.
But if you were a real gifted psychic, like I believe John Edward is, because some of the stuff on his show, and, you know, I just have to say, whoa, you know, and I know that's, you know, when you put it into a show, you put it on TV and stuff, it's all like edited, re-edited, cut, you know, like Ghostly Talk is not and needs to be. But, as an entertainment product, Ghostly Talk is amateurish, but very, very fun.
Yeah.
But what happens is
what you're hearing here is real. There's no sugarcoating. We don't have producers sitting here telling us what to say. We're just doing what
we got. You and me, and that's it.
That's pretty much all we have. And every once in a while, we have a guest that comes in here, and you know.
And same thing. We just have three mics.
Yeah.
But what happens is we don't have like production companies and stuff. But when you put something on TV like that, or on even on the radio, on TV, whatever, if you wanted to get a bigger market, if you wanted to take your gift out to the masses, and obviously, you know, in order to do that full-time, you have to get paid for it, you know, how do you go national? That's what gets me with her. Like, if Miss Harris was a real gifted psychic with, and she may be, I don't know, I haven't met her, and, you know, she assumed the Miss Cleo character and went on TV. You know, was it all innocent or was it all business?
We'll never know.
We won't know now.
My opinion, basically, the bottom line it, is anything I see on TV, it's entertainment, basically. I mean, I've seen the Real Ghost Hunter series, and I've seen all those shows. And, I mean, it's very interesting, and some of the evidence they put up there is pretty convincing too.
Mm-hmm.
But really, when it's being broadcast to millions of people like that, I mean, I really have to say it's entertainment to me.
Yeah.
And Miss Cleo goes right in with that too, and she did entertain me. She made me laugh for hours. So
well, I enjoyed it. I think she was cool.
So we got other stories to tell.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, we're running out of time. Actually, we missed a promo, so let's do a promo now.
All right,
we'll come back with more news.
Uh huh.
West Michigan Ghost Hunters Society invites you to join us at the Felt Mansion. Visit us at www.geocities.com/WMGhost for details now.
And more news. More Ghostly Talk news.
More news today. What's the next story, Doug?
Well, the next story is about... Well, this falls right into stuff that I love. It's actually different. Okay. We talked about, you know, some ghost exhibition. Mm-hmm. We talked about Miss Cleo. And now we're going to talk about a database that they either have built or are building.
They're working on it, actually.
Yeah, out there in Japan. Okay, here it is. The International Research Center for Japanese Studies, in Kyoto. Has established a database of Japanese monster and ghost stories. They've got 13,000 snippets of information, ranging from the popular yokai monsters of old Japan, including Kappa, the water imp, and Oni, ogres, to contemporary ghost tales. And such as, I've got to read this. I got to try to anyway. Chiore no Hanako-san, Miss Hanako in a restroom. I probably totally slaughtered that. We're going to get emails from Japan now.
Yeah, this just killing us.
Yeah, but nevertheless, you get the idea. Basically, this guy at the International Research Center for Japanese Studies in Kyoto... he's a professor of anthropological studies and of folklore.
Mm-hmm.
And it took 3 years to compile the database they've got now.
Uh-huh.
And they use magazines and essays and stuff like that. Just anything
and
they could.
Put it all together.
Put it all together, made a database. And here's a quote from him. Ghost stories have been told in every region in Japan, and monsters have lived in the hearts of the Japanese people.
Godzilla!
That's actually copyrighted. We can't say that on the air.
I didn't say Godzilla.
Oh,
okay. Godzilla.
Godzilla.
Godzilla. Remember, you know Zilla?
Godzilla.
Yeah.
Go.
Hey, yeah, Zilla, how you doing? Who? Call me.
I think not only researchers, but also ordinary people can enjoy the database. And it's on the website. So if you go to www.nishibun.ac.jp.
Oh, spell it, for God's sake. Come on.
Oh, dang. Where do you get a load of this? Grab your pencil and paper. www.nichibun.ac.jp/youkaidb.
I don't even know if it's in Japan. I don't know if that website's in Japanese or not either.
You may just
we haven't checked it out yet. It may
we
be
haven't
in
checked
Japanese.
It out. It's just like that's what we got on the.
I'm sure if he's posting
internet.
Something that big, it's gonna they're probably gonna have a type of translator installed into the site too.
That article came from Japan Times.
Yeah.
So if you want to read the article, you can search the database at japantimes.co.jp.
Cool.
What's interesting about that to me
mm-hmm.
is, and Dawn of Gosu.com. Was talking about legends and how, you know, probably the ghost stories and urban legends and tales and stuff. There may be a kernel of truth in everything, and then it just grows from there, you know, how that works. The study of this kind of thing is, I think, extremely important.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. And I think it's phenomenal that they've got this database going on.
Well, we'll say the word entertainment again, because they did say that. This is a great thing for, you know, people who are into the paranormal and mm-hmm. just regular, everyday folk alike.
Yeah.
Anybody can look at this and view the files, 13,000, you know, snippets of information here and there, which, you know, we know a lot about American folklore and ghost stories and stuff like that, but now you got a chance to go and if you can, if you wrote down that URL, that ridiculous URL, you can check out what's going on, what has happened in Japan. Now, I don't know too many of us that are going to actually be able to fly over there and actually investigate any of these things. I mean, if you do, please let us know. We'll bring you on the show.
Is there a database of this kind of thing for regions or all of the United States and Canada?
I have no clue.
And then, of course, Mexico would have a completely different set of folklore tales.
Chupacabra. That's a Mexican thing, isn't it?
Okay.
I know, yeah, Chupacabra.
Yeah.
That's a Mexican thing.
But I just don't get, I like, why don't we have anything like that?
I have no idea. I mean, I think Japanese, they are the kings of centralized systems.
Yeah, that's true.
And they love to centralize all their information in one database, usually. Americans tend to decentralize things, because usually Americans are usually all running in different directions. And that goes for industry, that goes for everything, really. I mean, if you study Japanese industry, I mean, they invented MRP, they invented just-in-time systems, and that's all centralized systems.
Yeah.
That they improve manufacturing, and they're doing the same thing here with ghost stories and folklore stories and monster stories in Japan.
Yeah. Well, the closest thing that we have, really, is we have that incredible database of urban legends.
Yeah.
Urban
Legends Archive.
Yeah, the Urban
www.urbanlegends.com.
Well, urbanlegends.com, but that actually takes you to a different site. It takes you to...
I thought it was Urban Legends Archive. That's an actual site. If you guys want to check that out... Yeah, I used to have that bookmarked at work, because that's what I used to do at work, is read urban legends all day long. But you go there, and they have all the urban legends line. They have, I mean, this is a huge database.
Yeah.
And they actually will, you can go and read the urban legend, and then after that, you post comments under that.
Yeah.
And people actually go as far as to research this stuff.
Oh, I know. I've been on the site, and but I thought it took you to Snopes.
I'm going to have to look at that. Go to urbanlegends.com right now and tell us what's going on.
Because I think it takes you to Snopes, Snopes.
I haven't been there in a long time.
And Snopes, I thought, was the biggest database of urban legends. And is there something like that for ghosts and hauntings and ghost
I'm
stories?
Sure in the Urban Legends Archive there's probably a handful sitting in there. I'm sure I've read a couple, actually.
Because I know Dawn has a fantastic start with her address book on ghosts.com.
Oh, yeah.
Because you can go there, read read her description of it, and then you can post articles underneath that, you know, similar to what you're talking about with the urban legend.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
But yeah. I just think it's
phenomenal idea, though.
Oh yeah,
what they've done,
totally
they've centralized all the information. They've taken all, like I said, they've taken everything from all over the place and stuffed it into one nice little package for people to look at, which is very cool. I mean, I love when people do that.
Yeah.
I love doing stuff like that myself.
Well, talking about that stuff, there's also supposedly, I had read an article. This was a long time ago, so now we're talking about old news.
Mm-hmm.
But someone was going to put up a website, where you could register your predictions.
Oh, really?
And then you couldn't edit them. Like, you know, you couldn't change your prediction after something happened and say, look, it was me who predicted that, you know, because this was all because, like, it was shortly after the 9/11 tragedy that people were saying things like, you know, why didn't anyone predict this? You know, why wasn't this in the predictions, you know, for 2001? What's up with that? So someone or other was going to start some prediction registry, and I'd love to get a hold of a URL like that.
Speaking of predictions, have you ever been to deathclock.com?
Is that the old...
The death clock.
When you're going to die?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
The death clock.
Yeah. Well, there's actually...
That was like, cracks me up, man.
That is pretty hilarious. I have been there.
Deathclock.com if you need a good laugh.
But actually, there's another thing that used to go around on the internet a long time ago. And I know nowadays it's more like the Darwin Awards are really, really popular. But there's something other than the Darwin Awards, which are people
Darwin
who died
Awards.
in a silly manner, they were obviously, like, should not have been doing this, and then they died because of it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's Darwin Awards. There was another one where every year... by the end of January or by the beginning of January, something like that, you had to email this guy. And this guy, this was way, way, way back. This was pre-World Wide Web, okay? You emailed this guy with your predictions of famous people who were going to kick the bucket that upcoming year.
Oh, God.
Now, that's very, very morbid.
Well, so is the death clock, too.
Yeah, death clock's pretty morbid, too.
People won't even look at that thing. I know people that won't even just, they won't even go there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's basically taking your morality and...
throwing it out the window.
Pretty much, yeah. Pretty much.
But there was this other thing, too, going on, and that was kind of, you know, at least it was some kind of centralized thing, but kind of morbid and disgusting at the same time.
Okay, well, why don't we take a break here, and we're going to come back with a killer story that you guys are going to have to hear right after this.
And we are going to eventually do our haikus.
Oh, yeah.
Ghost hunting, my ethereal anti-drug.
Oh my God, you gotta check this one out.
Okay, what do we got?
Are you guys ready for this one? Hang on to your desk chairs, because you're gonna crack up when you hear this heading. Here we go. Blind psychic gropes buttocks to see the future. Now, if that isn't a heading that would, like, make you buy a newspaper, I don't know what is. I mean, you're in line at the supermarket, you know, you got your basket full of groceries, and you see this thing. Blind psychic gropes buttocks to see the future. Brilliant, I'm telling you. Who knows if it's real or not, but I'm not gonna make a mockery of this, I promise. Okay.
Oh, it's an easy one to... laugh at.
Okay, and here is the intro. Forget palm reading. A blind German psychic claimed Tuesday he could read people's futures by feeling their naked buttocks. I think this guy's just a pervert.
Now, you said you weren't going to do that.
Sorry. Clairvoyant Ulf Buck, of 39 years old, claims that people's backsides have lines like those on the palm of the hand, which can be read to reveal much about their character and destiny. The bottom is much more intense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It has much stronger power. Has much stronger power of expression than the hand, in my experience. Buck told Reuters, which are reporters in Germany, because this is in Berlin.
Well, Reuters is.
What was that?
Oh, we got an email.
Sorry, we didn't turn the sound off the PC. So, if you're oops, sorry. Anyways.
No, Reuters is a syndicated press.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, you probably shouldn't be reading that.
Okay, well, it goes on developing throughout your life. Yeah, you get more hair on it.
Yeah, I get hairy butt.
By running his fingers along a number of lines on the surface of a client's posterior, he says he can tell them about their future monetary success, family life, health, and happiness. He says lines representing success, career, and artistic ability extend inwards from their outer extremities of the buttocks, while a further 5 lines radiate outwards. I began on the circle of friends, and the circle grew, Buck said. I am not a new age freak. I treat people with great care and conscientiousness. I can never pronounce that word. I'm sure you do. Buck, who lives in the northern village of Meldorf, northeast of Hamburg, says all types come to him to have their bottoms read. He sees his blindness as a great asset, not least because it means customers do not risk having their identities revealed. How are you going to see their face? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that.
You're having too much fun.
All sorts come, from cleaning ladies and secretaries to prominent members of the community. For them, my being blind is an advantage because I can do it without recognizing them again in the future. Buck has been blind since the age of 3. Excuse me. Although he claims to have spent many years training his fingers, with the index and middle fingers the most sensitive, Buck says even amateur buttocks readers can make a broad brush assessment of people's personalities. I think you guys get the point here.
Okay, that's enough. Okay. So.
I'm sorry, you, here, go ahead, you talk.
So he
I'm turning the mic off for a second. Go ahead.
Here we have a story of a guy who reads people's rear ends.
Yeah.
Much like palmistry.
Now, okay, I'm going to be...
Palmistry is where you take the right and the left hand and you look at the lines that... if you look at your hand, you can see the creases there. And certain lines mean different things in their width and their makeup and stuff. Okay. So, this guy is saying that he is blind and does the same thing by feeling people's posteriors.
Which, all kidding aside, it may be a very...
Well, it sounds really relaxing.
He's blind.
I mean, he's blind.
I mean, the pervert thing's got to go because he's blind. He can't see anything.
Well,
I mean,
that's usually,
when I hear something like this, my brain goes to is the obvious.
I only half agree with that, though, because, I mean, if you were blind and your basic senses
were touch and taste and smell and hearing,
perhaps that's a good way to, get your jollies. Because you would be, limited. You couldn't look at, porn, so you would have to touch it. And there you go. You just stick a sign in your front yard that says, I'll touch your butt and tell your future, and boom, you've got instant porn coming to you.
I don't know. I mean, it's a very interesting story. When I saw it, I was like, oh, we're definitely broadcasting this. We've got to talk about this.
Well, it's a really good one. I think though that if it is true, okay. Now that's the con, right?
Yeah, we have a listener saying the same thing that she agrees with me. agrees with you about the touching thing.
Yeah, the con is that it could be sensual.
Yeah,
it obviously is a very sensual thing to do. It could be good on both ends because it could be good on both sides because I imagine a good butt rub would be nice.
Part of a massage.
I mean, dogs like it when you pat them on the rear sometimes. So it's like, it's gotta be.
Yeah, I mean,
fun for them.
I mean, now this may go for the people coming there too.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It could be both sides. The touchy and the toucher could be having a little bit of fun there. But at the same time, there are a lot of nerve endings in your hands, in your feet, and there's got to be nerve endings in your rear end as well. And it very well could be that, by feeling them, if you've got a highly developed sense of touch, you very well could,
he's saying that there's lines similar to that in the palms on the behind.
I haven't looked at a behind that now, closely in so long.
Well, there he says there's lines. Now, your body, if you're a nervous person and you're an intense person, you tend to clench a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you get, if you look at my palms, Doug, I mean, I've been told by palm readers, look how deep the lines are in my hands.
Yeah.
That I'm just very aggressive. I have an aggressive act, and I'm just I'm always clenching my fist and this and which, I try not to. But anyways, the same thing could go for your butt, too, I guess. I mean,
could clench it.
Gluteus maximus.
Yeah.
I've heard a lot of rap songs, so I know that. I know that particular part of the end. So... that the muscle back there is the same way you have muscles in your hands. So, I mean, as far as from a scientific point of view, physiological point of view, this very well may be, he might be onto something here.
You don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
It would be interesting to follow up on that in a year or so.
Yeah. Yeah.
See if all of a sudden a bunch of butt readers show up in Phenomenews or whatever.
Well, hey, man, it's gonna happen. every Tom, Dick, and Perb is gonna come out of the woodwork I'm a butt reader.
Well, if it's anything, if it takes off like the Reiki Masters, all you have to do is pay your $1,000 and... and take a class and become highly trained.
Yeah.
You're a Reiki Master.
Yeah. So, interesting story, though. We thought we know that most people in this country are going to find it funny. But we thought it was interesting, too. I mean, seriously, from a certain standpoint, there's some validity to this if you think about it like we thought about it. So you guys think about that, too, okay? Next story, though.
I don't know why we're going to talk about this one. I don't really like this story. Let me see if there's a different one.
Okay.
You wanted to talk about the Cosby thing or the Ghostbusters?
Well, in lieu of time, because we only have 15 minutes left.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's first do our haiku.
Okay.
And then we'll see how much we have time left for the different stories.
You guys are going to get a kick out of this. We talked about it last week.
And we wanted to do this really bad, and it turned out to be a lot harder than we thought.
Yeah, yeah. And the recording was a lot of fun, too. Just, you know, like I said, we cut these down at my band's rehearsal studio. So
yeah.
It was quite an eventful day. So why don't we check these out, Doug?
Okay.
I'm Doug, and this is my ghostly talk haiku. Picture of Doug free. Picture of Doug in a ditch? Well, that's just priceless.
Brilliant.
That's my haiku.
You want to do mine too?
All right. Here's Scott, then we'll talk about him.
I'm Scott L. This is my ghostly talk haiku. I am freaking out. Someone please just hold my hand. Gonna poop in my pants, my pants, my pants, my pants.
All right. Now that we've pretty much destroyed all of our credibility on this show for every listener we have in the world.
There is no danger of us becoming haiku masters.
No.
No.
Not at all.
My haiku is obviously inspired by, you know, pop culture. And it's just hilarious.
Yeah.
And your haiku, you know, with that bad word.
Mine was inspired by boredom.
Yeah.
By sitting at work, and I'm like, okay, I have to do this haiku for this weekend, so let's think of something really goofy. So,
well, I did other more meaningful haikus that we didn't record that I thought were pretty good. But
we thought those ones might just go right over your head.
Well, okay, I have to tell the story behind my haiku. For some reason, not often, but occasionally, I will be out ghost hunting, and I will just find myself in a ditch.
Yeah.
And so, therefore, mine, you know, picture of Doug, free, picture of Doug in a ditch, well, that's just priceless. Mm-hmm. Well, that's because so far nobody's got an actual picture of me in a ditch, but,
yeah,
but it does happen.
I'm working on it.
Yeah, we're, I imagine I could take a picture of myself in the ditch because I'm the one there all the
but
time.
But, seriously, we talked about this last week, though. If you don't have to make yours with the music and stuff behind it. For production purposes for the show, we needed to do that.
Well, what about your, do you remember yours?
I am freaking out. Someone please just hold my hand. Gonna poop my pants.
Yeah, that's 575.
Cue the laugh track. Cue the laugh track. But no, seriously.
I love it.
If you guys have your own, email them to us. We'll do them on the air here. Right on the show. Or if you want to record your own WAV file and send it to us, feel free to do that also. You can do that if you want. And we'll put them right on the show for you guys. Also on the message board, too. We have a subject on the message board right now, too. So visit the Ghostly Talk forums and put your haiku up there if you want also.
Let me give you a little more serious one real quick. I just have to
okay.
read it. It's so good. I was inspired.
Okay.
Okay. A leaf hits the earth. The sun continues to shine. It happens again. I really like that one. It's meaningful.
It's deep. You know?
Meaningful.
It's deep.
And then another meaningful one, but it's not because it's just really silly. It makes absolutely no sense when you actually think about it. The phenomena in historical records transcends timelessness. The only reason that thing sounds deeper than it is because it uses big words.
But yeah, really I noticed that one. It's like two words per sentence, but it's five syllables.
It really is the right number of syllables.
Somebody's been looking at their thesaurus.
Yeah. Well, no, I actually went to some like haiku writing thing. I noticed that they in actual haiku writing nowadays, they've thrown completely out the 575 thing.
Really?
Travesty, if you ask me.
Oh, well, yeah. It breaks tradition, if you ask me. Anyways, though, we have one more story.
I wanted to tell my limerick. Okay.
Oh, you want?
I love my limerick.
You
want
to do a limerick?
I went a bit poetry crazy. Let me do my limerick.
All right.
Here's my limerick. Okay. The people who listen to the pre-show fun already heard this. There once was a ghost in a band who played the best tambourine in the land. But what scares me the most is all you could see of the ghost, an elbow, an arm, and a hand. I love limericks. I want to write like 58 more. And
great time killer there, folks.
Publish my book of limericks. All right.
Any of you office workers out there like me, now you have something to do during the day.
We got 10 minutes left of the show.
So
yeah.
Let's do... I really want to do this this story. This one
We have more, but I think we're going to run out of time.
I know. That's why I want to get this one in, and then if we lose the others, that's fine.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, everybody knows the story of Vlad the Impaler and how it inspired Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, they're building a Dracula theme park, and evidently there is this paranormal investigator who believes.
Does it say exactly where it's at? I'm not sure if we cited that, where it was. Well, I mean, as far as the location or where the park's going to be at. It's actually where, well, no, they say, it says in the article.
It does say in the article, so let me look. I was trying to, like, build it up.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
I killed your thunder.
what thunder, yeah. The Dracula Park is to be built in Sigisaara.
Not a clue.
S-I-G-H-I-S-O-A-R-A.
Well, it says where Vlad the Impaler's castle was actually...
Well, it says actually it was the hometown of 15th century Prince Vlad the Impaler.
Okay, so that's where he chilled at.
Yeah, so this theme park centered, you know, themed around Dracula is going to be built evidently in Sigisaara.
Okay.
Blah, blah, blah.
Anyways,
S-I-G-H-I-S-O-A-R-A.
Build it up.
Well, no, I'm pretty well done now. Sorry, my...
What? Well, yeah.
I lost my steam.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Here. Go ahead.
No! I can't do the show alone. Okay, yeah, we've got Count Dracula. You know, everybody's heard of him, the vampire kind of guy. Vlad the Impaler, the real one, inspired the story, the legend, et cetera, et cetera.
Uh-huh.
It's been on the Learning Channel, so it must be true. Anyway, there's these paranormal investigators who are investigating it because there's all these happenings going on. And some of the happenings are, terrified tourists have seen the vampire's ghost wandering through the streets. Evidently... And they're thinking now, of course, that Dracula is trying to stop plans to build a Dracula theme park. Okay.
Why would you want
to
stop something cool like that? I mean, they're making it about you.
I know.
Maybe a Scott Lambert theme park, man. I'd be like, my ghost would be hopping around going, keep going.
Ghostly Talk theme park.
That'd be great.
That's really cool. But the evidently, there's regular nighttime destruction of shops in the city's historical center. And so what they've done, they've set up video cameras, and they're trying to capture this Dracula, Vlad the Impaler, on film, trying to stop the construction of his theme park. But you're right. Why?
Why?
Why would the ghost of Vlad the Impaler come back to destroy...
I'm sure he has his reasons.
Theme park.
I mean, I'm sure he has his reasons. Because Vlad the Impaler obviously wasn't the most pleasant of people you'd want to run into on a...
No, he wasn't.
In a dark alley.
Yeah, he wasn't the nicest
he
of
wasn't,
folk.
Yeah, he really wasn't. He was the guy who invented impaling, obviously.
Well, at least he practiced
that was
quite
his
a bit.
Claim
yeah.
to fame. And, I mean, maybe he does have his reasons to not have a park built. Maybe in the afterlife he's ashamed of what he's done.
Like, no fun. Nobody can have fun.
No, wait, check this out. Here's my theory. Here's my
okay.
theory for the show.
Oh, here we go.
Maybe in the afterlife, he's ashamed and regretful of what he did in life, and he doesn't want something amplifying that in, you know, on Earth here.
Well,
on this plane.
And that actually sounds good.
It sounds good.
I like it. It's pretty much all it is. However, at the same time, if he has unfinished business here on Earth, it seems to me what he would do is come back and do his unfinished business.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay.
From what I understand, ghosts and spirits who've crossed over don't really care about day-to-day life operations, other than to, you know, check up, make sure everyone's cool, you know, that kind of thing. And I just, money's not an object, getting older is no longer an object. So it's like, you know, people don't have, like, they've shed their mortality. They don't really care about stuff.
Very well may be it. I mean, but I don't know. Now, here's the other thing, though. We talked about this before the show, too. This may be...
Well, this is...
huge.
This, I have a feeling, is more closely related to the truth and maybe not. I don't know.
This could be a huge media blitz.
Big marketing.
Big market. Come on.
Spread a ghost story.
You'd have... Vlad the Impaler, the ghost of Vlad the Impaler. That's like...
I know, if you had that, you would have the marketing tool of the century.
For every serious ghost hunting group on the planet.
Oh, yeah.
They'd all be there.
Oh, yeah. So as a marketing tool...
Oh, God, yes.
Dracula's ghost would be phenomenal.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think that may be... this is coming from people who want, you know, who study the afterlife. You know, we're not professionals in any way, but... Let's come back to Earth here for a second.
Yeah, look at the source of the story. The story is talking about an up-and-coming theme park.
Yeah.
Costs a lot of money to build one of these things. And it seems to me if you had a hook,
yeah,
a method, a story, you know, it would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, I hate to be the skeptic, but...
Well, I think we're both a skeptic.
I have a feeling that if you do end up going to Chickasaw... And setting up your video cameras and stuff, uh-huh, they would probably have you buy a ticket to the theme park.
Yeah.
So
I think that very well may be the issue here. I mean, it's an interesting story. I mean, the story of Vlad the Impaler, it's pretty intricate and detailed of what he did and how he came to be doing what he did before he died.
Mm-hmm.
But
and then, of course, you know, the follow-up, Dracula.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, all these things that
legendary.
Spawned off of his character. Which was, you know, he was a real person. He
yeah.
did these things.
Yeah.
But, yeah, as far as a marketing tool goes, this is going to make somebody a lot of money.
That's where this story seems to fit in.
Yeah. I mean, that's what we both kind of the little light bulb popped over both of our heads when we were looking this over before the show and said, yeah, I think I know what's going on here. Which, hey, you know, I mean, hey, free enterprise. I mean, if that's what you do, I mean, it happens all these... There's businesses popping up every day, and they're looking for a hook like this.
Yeah. So if you got, hey there.
Hey.
we're getting people
Sorry,
popping
we're getting
up
people
on
saying
Instagram
hi.
Messenger. So one more quickie. You know, the we did find stories about using technology.
Yeah.
The big story for using technology, and I only want to mention this for 3 minutes because we only have 3 minutes left, is that the folks out on and I'm sure you've seen this because there was a something on like Travel Channel or Learning Channel, you know, one of those show kinds of things
uh-huh.
on TV that they went out, they're like investigating the Presidio. Okay.
Okay.
That's where it's known that this is in San Francisco.
Yeah.
It's known for it's got a beautiful view of the Golden Gate Bridge and it's a military kind of place,
uh-huh.
right? And it's also known as a very haunted place. So they're investigating this uh-huh. place. And it's been on TV and everything, they showed it. One of the things that they've been doing is they're talking about how all the technology that they're using. This is in the story that that we got off of techtv.com, mm-hmm. but the, you know, I've seen it not on TechTV because I guess I don't watch that channel. I've seen it on History or the Learning Channel or Discovery or those channels that I watch.
Yeah,
and Travel. So it would have been on one of those, and they have a whole like hour on or a segment of an hour on ghost busting and looking, I hate to use that word, but
yeah.
you know, ghost busting and investigating these ghosts. And they really are doing some pretty intense studies of the Presidio. And the Tech TV article is interesting because they talk about it from a gadget sort of, point of view.
Uh-huh.
They're talking about the, you know, the EMF detectors and, of course, all the video cameras and
uh-huh.
cameras. And so they're talking about all this
equipment
And they're also talking about how they try to capture EVP and stuff in this article. Again, that's all up in question, and they didn't bother saying that there's some question about the use of technology in hunting ghosts.
Yeah.
And there really is questions about that. The digidust phenomenon, which may or may not exist, the fact that a real person does not give off EMF, you know, what gives off EMF are video cameras.
Yeah.
And, you know, electrical gizmos.
Yeah, that's all up to you guys. I mean, that's up to everybody. It's up to me and Doug. It's up to everybody that listens to this show what your view is on technology. You know, we're pretty much like, okay, well.
Try it all.
Try it all, yeah.
Yeah, my own viewpoint on technology is give it all a try.
Yeah, of
it
course.
It certainly can't hurt. I mean, not yet. I mean, if somebody goes along and they really study the thing and they really come out with, like, the scientific, this is how it really is. EMF detectors do not detect ghosts.
Yeah. If they prove it, there's still going to be somebody that comes back and says, you proved it, but you didn't take this into account, which, hey, that's healthy. That's what we need.
That's what we need. We need people to go through and prove everything, yeah.
Exactly. I mean, you have to have someone that's going to stay on Earth and go, okay, look, we haven't solved the equation yet. So it goes both ways. We're open to both ways. We hope that you're open to both ways, too. I mean, some people just bring out the resident psychic they have and run out there, and that's what their equipment is.
Dig out your psychic.
I hate to make a person into equipment. But
yeah,
I mean,
dig out your divining rods. Dig out your pendulum.
Some people just try to go out and feel it themselves. That's why one of the number one rules we talked about is when you go out ghost hunting or trying to find something paranormal, it is be open to all your senses and be open to everything that comes around you. So that's real important also. But on that note, though, I think we're going to have to cut the show here. We are running late, of course. But we hope you enjoyed all these stories. This stuff goes on all the time. You know, there's all kinds of other stories out there for you guys to check out. We just pretty much cited out the ones we thought were the most interesting and funny, too.
Yeah, these are the fun ones.
These are the fun ones.
The interesting ones. And
but
how
they do,
we,
they all have a serious side, though, too.
Yeah, and when I read an article, I have to think further than the article. And that's what I want everybody to do. Read your article and then think about it from 800 different viewpoints.
If you took everything you read to heart,
and at face value,
you'd be in big trouble.
Yeah, it just wouldn't work. Yeah.
So you got to think about these things. I mean, they're funny, you know, you're going to laugh, but I mean, even with the whole with the story about the gentleman with the buttocks, I mean, of course you're going to get a giggle out of somebody by talking about that. I mean, that's why they printed that.
Yeah, because it's
funny, but as we illustrated, there is a serious side to it that you should explore,
and it could be true. You don't know.
It could be good, but until next week, though. Which we don't know what we're going to talk about.
Not yet.
Hopefully we'll find something good for you guys. We're going to take off. Have a good week. Have fun. And I'm Scott L.
And I'm Doug.
And this was Ghostly Talk.
True science will not deny the existence of things because they cannot be weighed and measured. It will rather lead us to believe that the wonders and subtleties of possible existence surpass all that our mental powers allow us clearly to perceive.
We must ignore no existence whatsoever. We may variously interpret or explain its meaning and origin, but if a phenomenon does exist, it demands some kind of explanation.
A quote from The Principles of Science, William Stanley Jevons.